Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio and we're discussing Philippians 1, 12 through 26. And we're going to have the ladies introduce themselves and give them one word that stuck out to them on last time's taping.
Hi, I'm Karen, and my word is rejoice.
I'm Catherine, and my word is deliverance.
I'm Christy, and my word is boldness.
I'm Adriana, and my word is also joy.
Mine would be prayer. And Sandy, did you have one?
Uh-oh. I have everybody. Okay, I'm going to say focused. Because I'm not.
Works for me. That's good. We're glad you guys are here. I have a quote for us from John Corson's commentary that I found that was related to what we're studying. And it just is so beautiful. I want you to listen to this. He says, "I am convinced that the joy Paul wrote about, the joy Paul lived out was based on his mind, not his heart or how he felt, but on how he thought. The saying is true, your attitude determines your altitude. How you think affects how you feel. In Philippians, Paul talks about thinking 15 times and 10 times about remembering. You cannot change your heart, but you can change your mind. God can change your heart, but God will not change your mind."
That's that free will talking there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's good.
I know.
Because I think when I get in trouble or unfocused, it's because of my mind.
Right.
You know, something dwells on it and it's like.
Exactly. You know. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I say pretty often in my office to people when they come in is just like, they're like, "I don't know how to do it." And then I tell them how to do it. And they're like, "But it feels awkward." I'm like, "You do it until it's not awkward anymore." Mm-hmm. Because you have to train your mind. And so as you're training your mind, eventually the feelings will come and the awkwardness will move away. It'll go away. So let's go ahead and let's read the passage and then we'll get into it. And keep this in mind about the attitude of the mind affects the attitude of the heart. Go ahead. Catherine. I'm looking at the wrong person.
I was like, wait, what? Okay, so Philippians 1, 12 through 26. "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. What shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me."
Thank you, God. That's so beautiful. So we looked at how John Corson said that it's our attitude, that through our attitude, through how we think, that it changes, okay? And Paul's trying to show this to the people of Philippi. He is trying to train their minds so that their hearts will follow. And all the examples of the things that he's given us, we can see that. So he's talked to them about that because of the chains, you know, that he's able to reach people that he hasn't been able to reach because of their prayers. He knows he's having a deliverance that will happen. He's actually modeled for them the example of the attitude and how it changes our mind. So in verse 20, he says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. Mm. And so thinking through Paul's, like, he has an eager, expectant hope. So I have two verses that support the thinking of the mind and the joy part. And so let's go to Psalm 16:11. Christy has that. And then we'll go to John 15:11, which Adriana has that, right?
Mm-hmm. Psalm 16:11. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. In your right hand are eternal pleasures.
Then John 15:11 is, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy in you, joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full.
Okay. Getting our mind stayed where it needs to be. All right, so joy, thinking Paul, and he's trying to get them to grasp joy in circumstances. So he's saying, the psalmist says in Psalm 16:11, he says, you make known to me the path of life. So the path of life, God's the one that makes the path known. And another place in Proverbs 16, it says that man chooses his steps, but God sets the path straight, depending on how you have it. So the path is what gives life, okay? And then he says, in your presence, there is the fullness of joy. So if we're trusting God with the path and we're going into his presence, we will know then the fullness of his joy. So I have to, in my mind, recognize God's got a path for me. And even though my path is going a direction I may not want to be going right now, which we all know those moments, right? I have to trust that he has a plan in that path. And then if I'm choosing his presence, I'll know the fullness of his joy in that path. I can trust that in his presence, he will give me that joy. And so I don't have to be afraid or whatever that may come at me, because in his right hand are pleasures that are forever. They're eternal. So path, presence, and pleasures is what God has for us, and it's eternal. And so recognizing, getting my mind to think on those things, that's what's going to give me the strength to have my heart follow, even when it doesn't make sense in my circumstances and what I'm going through, solidifying in him. And then John 15:11 is Jesus talking. He says, these things I've spoken to you. These things, everything he said in the Gospels up to that point in John. Okay, I've spoken them, that my joy may be in you. The word of God brings joy. Mm-hmm. So if I'm low, and I am not thinking where I need to be thinking, I need to get in the word. Mm-hmm. The word is what will bring me joy. And so getting into the word, and he says, not just that it will give you joy, but it will make your joy full. That's amazing to me. And I know in my life, I was my young 20s, the age of you guys in college, when I first started reading the Bible from cover to cover. Because up to that point, my Bible was Russian roulette. You know, oh, let's see what God has for me today. Flip, okay. it's just, it'd be random stuff, and it would never be good. You know, it's like he lined them up, and he killed the seventh one, you know, or something, you know, kind of thing. You're like, what? And so being consistent in the word is where joy is made full. And so when we are ignoring the word of God, that fullness cannot happen. And so recognize that. I wanted to bring that in because it's very easy for us to not see what we need to have. All right. So Paul's eager expectation for them. What does he say? He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way. What does he say?
Be ashamed.
Be what? Why would he say that? That I would in no way be ashamed. Why do you think he said that? Have you guys ever been ashamed of trying to talk about Jesus to somebody? You ever been afraid?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm not the only one? Paul's not the only one?
No.
Yeah. There are some circumstances that are quite terrifying, especially if it's somebody that you love. And he says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. Mm. I'm not going to be ashamed to say what Jesus has done for me. And I'm like, wow. Mm. He says, I have sufficient courage. That not just now, but as always, Christ will be exalted. the key is that he's recognizing he has to surrender it to Christ. He is literally giving himself over, trusting the path, the presence, and the pleasures that God gives. That even though Psalm 16 isn't Paul's, literally Paul's living that out. He's trusting those three in his life. That means I have to pray for that want. I have to pray for Christ in me, that I'm okay with Christ in me. And if I'm willing to be okay with that, then I will find I'm not afraid of that. Because that which we are comfortable with and confident in, we're not afraid to speak. Right? Mm-hmm. And so being willing to have that. All right. So why do you think he wanted the Philippians, with everything we've talked about, why do you think he wants the Philippians to know he's not ashamed?
I think so that they won't be ashamed either. Mm-hmm. Part of it is he's been setting the example all the way through, so he's doing it in this too.
Mm-hmm. Do you think as the persecution increases, it's going to be easier to be afraid or ashamed to speak the gospel?
Yes.
As Nero takes over and they begin the Crusades, I mean, just think of history as we see it unfold of how Christians are treated. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? He says that, and this makes me want to cry, he says, I will have sufficient courage. Okay, sufficient. He didn't say, I'm going to have, you know, this courage that's going to be like, oh, they're all going to see it. But in the moment, for what I need, it's going to be sufficient that what I have to speak when I need to speak it. And I don't know, that's kind of a nice word. Like, sufficient's not a word I would think.
My grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
I love the word sufficient. Never thought about it, though, until you were saying
yeah,
that.
It's good.
It's just enough.
Mm. So wanting them to understand that in life, their body, their life, or their death, that it's going to be sufficient for what they're going to need. So let's go to the next verse. I'm going to ask this question. What can we understand about shame when it comes to preaching the Word of God? Thinking through Paul. What can we understand? What do you think for us today? I mean, you think, like, all the interactions that you have throughout the day, where's the place that you're least likely to share the gospel? Where are you least likely to share Jesus? Do you have a place? I can honestly say this is crazy because I don't know when this happened. I don't know when God made this shift in me because I remember very clearly being afraid. But at some point, something clicked, and I'm not afraid anymore. Like, I say things when nobody wants me to say it, even in Christian circles, when I know even Christians are going to reject me because I'm the one that's going, oh, Jesus, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Pray that we reach that point where we no longer have that fear. Mm-hmm. That's key. I want us to read, Christy, would you read for us Isaiah 28:16?
So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic.
I like that.
Is that awesome? That makes me want to sing that song. I wish I could sing like Christy. Do you know the song?
I'm not sure.
That goes, I lay on Zion, a sure foundation of stone. That's a really good song. It's a good one. We should do it. Christy, we could have it at chapel. It is an amazing song. We'll look it up, Karen, and listen to it on the car on the way to school. But it is an amazing song. But this understanding that literally God says, I've given you the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And that when you rest on his sure foundation, there's nothing that will strike you with panic. You can stand firm. And I was praying, I'm like, God, as I was getting ready this morning, I'm like, I almost feel like it's wrong for me to be talking so strongly about this because I'm really not in a place where I'm being persecuted for what I do. Mm. Knowing that people who are listening to this in other countries are, where they will be stricken.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that confidence has to come that we trust God. And that It's not because I'm saying it. It's because God says it. And going back to recognizing it's His truth. And it's His truth that sets us free. And so even when it comes to panic or fear, it's the truth that He gives us that will make us strong. And so trusting in that. All right, I want Catherine, look up Romans 9:33. And Adriana, I want you to look up 2 Corinthians 3:12, because these are two verses that also support this of not being ashamed and being where we have to trust God and what God's going to do. So Romans 9:33.
It says, as it's written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame.
It's good.
Okay, and 2 Corinthians 3:12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold.
So we have this hope that if we are trusting His foundation, we're mm-hmm. not going to be put to shame. And because of that hope, we can be bold. That's beautiful, isn't it? It's just incredible that He's given us this. You know, we're not going to finish what I said we were going to do. I just looked at the clock. We're not going to get through everything. So verse 21 says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Mm. What is Paul's desire? Does he know which one to choose?
No.
Mm-mm. Both are good.
Both are good.
So to live is Christ. He says it's fruitful labor. Mm-hmm. It is a fruitful thing. If I am alive, it is fruitful. I want to be fruity until the day I die. So when you guys come to see me and I'm in the old folks home, right? Because you're all going to come see me.
I'll be earlier.
You make sure I'm fruitful. Even in my senility, you make sure I'm fruitful, right? I want so much God's word and truth in me that even when I am in the home and I'm not talking sense, that it's scripture that I'm talking. That's my prayer that God grant me. That is my prayer. Because I want to be fruitful. He says then to die is gain. That's far better than being fruitful on this earth, because then He's actually physically in His presence. Mm-hmm. What a gift mm-hmm. that He gives. And that doesn't mean that we give up now on this life. That means that now where you're at, you be fruitful with what you're doing.
Right.
You choose to be intentional. You choose to choose joy. You choose to have your attitude stayed on Christ so that your mind is where it needs to be. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we thank you for those that are donors. If you want to talk to us, you can reach us through www.terrorye.com or cultivatinghearts.org or opendoormission.org. God bless.